Praise the Lord. Greeting you all in the name of Jesus this morning. How is everyone? Good? You're fine. You're fine. You're definitely fine because I heard you. But I'll pray you're all well anyway. I pray you're all well. I want to thank Carol. I can't see Carol right now, but I want to thank Carol for leading the worship. Thank you, Carol, and the worship team and the instrumentalist. That was, yeah. That was awesome. And proof of that is I'm actually sweating under here. So that was good. Fully warmed up. I want to open in prayer. Let's just bow before we go to the Word of God. Righteous and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can be together in your presence, Lord, that we can have this wonderful time and experience with you. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we're sharing. I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. Lord, I pray that you have your way. Speak through me, Lord. Let your words leave my mouth and hit the hearts of those listening. I pray that hearts will be opened, ears will be opened to receive what you have. Let us not leave this place the same. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Welcome, welcome. I want to start by just asking, did anyone hear about the bridge collapse in Baltimore? Yes. I thought so. I didn't want to assume, but I thought so. So the bridge collapsed and it was all over the news. Tragic. There was videos, people caught it on camera and all this sort of stuff. And I saw some of that stuff and it was on social media and you see comments and stuff like that. And as I was looking through some of the comments, there was a particular comment that stood out to me, and it was of a daughter speaking of her father, and she said these words, and I'll quote. She said, "My dad takes the Francis Scott Key Bridge every single night for work, like clockwork. He overslept last night and ended up leaving the house an hour late. That was honestly nothing but God," end quote. And as I read that, what I started to think to myself as I thought, this daughter must be so thankful, so grateful that her father overslept, and also the father that he overslept. And this morning, what I want to speak about is Thanksgiving. I want to speak about what it means for us as believers to be thanksgiving and what it means for us and our relationship with God, because the Bible has a lot to say about Thanksgiving and what it means. And I want to go through some scriptures and look at the importance of Thanksgiving for us as believers. Amen. So Thanksgiving is an essential part of our relationship with God. So it's essential for our prayer to him, but also how we relate to him. Growing up, for probably most of us, but speaking for myself, you know, giving thanks, being polite, all this sort of stuff was really drummed into me as a child growing up. But when I came into the kingdom, became a believer, I realized that the Bible has a lot more to say on it, and it has a heightened meaning for us as believers. And if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Psalms 100? This is going to be my key scripture for this morning. And I want to go through this and several other scriptures to look at what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. It'll come up behind you as well. So Psalm 100 says this: "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations." What a wonderful psalm. Short but powerful. Psalm 100 is considered a royal psalm, along with Psalm 93 and 95 to 99, where these psalms, They call on all people everywhere to honor God according to his divine status. So verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now it's speaking to all people. And even though God chose the nation of Israel for special purposes, his love extends to everyone, extends to all the earth. And we know this from John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Yep. He loved the world, so he sent his only begotten son. And so too, there's proof of his existence, and it makes itself available to all people. So no one has an excuse to say, well, I didn't know God existed. And we see this in Romans 1, speaks about this. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. It goes on to say this, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So there's going to be no one that can say they didn't know, because he's giving everything that we can know he exists. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. This is so powerful. When we look at the word serve in scripture, the word serve in scripture means our worship. How we serve him, how we worship him. The things we do are part of our worship to God. And it says, how should we do that? It says to do it with gladness. You know, now, we go through times where we're serving God, where we're doing what we're doing, and it can be tough. Amen. But the word says that we should do it with gladness.
Yeah.
Coming to his presence with singing, as we've done this morning. We've come into his presence with singing. And it goes on in verse 3 to say that, know that the Lord, he is God. This is so important for us. We know as believers that Lord is sovereign over all. We know that. He is Lord, but he is God. He is the creator. He is the creator of everything that exists. It is he who made us. Whether you know it or not, he is he who made us. And we are his. Amen.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. The Bible says, references even, gates. We see this in Matthew. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells us that we should enter by the narrow gate. We are the sheep of his pasture and we must enter into his gates. It's a narrow gate. And the way we should enter it is how? What does it say here? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We can miss this. We can want to do all sorts of things. Come to church. We can do, go out on the street and preach. But he says, enter with thanksgiving. It's powerful. As we serve, be thankful. We're going to find out why. In verse 5, it says, why? Because the Lord is good. It's so short here, the Lord is good, but it's powerful. Why should we be thankful? Because the Lord is good. It's not us who's good. It's not us who figure things out.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
The book of James says this, it says that all good and perfect gifts are from the Lord.
Yes.
These are the things that we have to keep in our heart, close to us. Because when we are serving the Lord and it's hard, we can give him thanks. Why? Because we know he's good. Even as, I mean, Colin just referenced it, Joseph, all these people we read in the Bible that go through these hard times, they can keep going. Why? Because they believe, they know he's good. One of my coaches says this. He says, you don't believe your eyes because your eyes tell lies. Right? Some things we look at around, they're telling us a lie about what's going on. Some people have fallen away from the faith because they're believing it in the natural. We know we serve a supernatural God, and it says here the Lord is good. So that's how we can be thankful. That's how we can serve him with gladness. Amen. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Like I said, what a wonderful psalm. Short but powerful. Gives us so much instruction and help, regardless of what we're going through. So I want to look at some aspects of thanksgiving. I want to go into that a bit further this morning. And the first aspect I want to look at this morning is in relation to the will of God. Now, I'm sure all of you, most of you are aware of the will of God, but I want us to read it together. Sharon, if we can get 1 Thessalonians, that scripture, up on the board. Can we read this together? It's 1 Thessalonians 5 from 16 to 18. If we read this together. So 16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God. That's it. We don't need to get confused. We don't need to look too far. It's in the book. You all have the book. Anyone that doesn't have the book, see me after. We can get you a copy. This is in the book. And God has his divine will for all of us. He has a will for your life, your individual life, but this is the will of God for us. Is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. That's the will of God. If anyone asks you now, that is the will of God. Now, these are some really, again, powerful, short, sharp verses. And I often say this when I come up here, is that I love the Word of God, how it has patterns, principles, and promises for us. All throughout Scripture, you'll find them. And I love that about the Word of God, because I love finding patterns. And that's probably something to do with my techie background, but I love to find patterns. So I really resonate with this part of Scripture. And in this, in the will of God, as we just read, we find a pattern. And I want to help you this morning, just to see that very clearly. The pattern we see is that we are able to rejoice always when we pray without ceasing. Why? Here's why. Because when we are in communication with God, we know what he has for us. We know his will for us when we're in communication with him. And then when we're in communication with him, because we know what he has for us is good, we're going to thank him. Whether we see it or not, we're going to thank him. Right? So this is a pattern that we see. We can rejoice because we're praying. We're in communication with our Lord and Savior. We know what he's saying to us, and we can give thanks to him. What a wonderful pattern we see in Scripture. And we know it's good, as it says in verse 5 of Psalms, of Psalm 100. And the second thing I want to look at, the second aspect in this sermon today is thanksgiving as our posture, as our way of being. And if we can go, Sharon, please, to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says this. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When I was reading this, I also looked at another translation. In the NIV, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe. He says it slightly different. And I want to go into something a bit more here. It says, I think we have KJV here. It says, let us have grace. That word grace is let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Why? Because he has given us, we've received, when we accept him, a kingdom, a new way of living. He's given us a kingdom. And this kingdom is not shakable, as it says here. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And again, as I said, we shouldn't believe our eyes, because sometimes our eyes tell us lies. We see things that are going on and we think, where are you, God? No, it's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I'm not taking away what's going on outside. There's things going on. But it says clearly in Scripture, we've received that kingdom. When we receive him, we turn to his kingdom, his way. Yes. It's something that cannot be shaken. Yes. Amen. So it says, because you have that, let's have grace. Let's be thankful for that. This is something you can't receive anywhere else. This is something that's never going to end. And it says, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I said earlier, when we were reading the Psalms, that this service, the serving that we do, this is our part of our worship. And it says it here. So when we look at the NIV, it says, and so your worship to God is acceptable. So when we're doing these things, I know sometimes it could be hard, but it's part of our worship. And it says we should do it how? With reverence and godly fear. In the NIV, it uses the word awe. And I really love the way it uses that word. Because I believe, church, if we have awe of our Lord and Savior, if we have that awe, thanksgiving is easy. It's when we look at God, how man is, which Isaiah speaks against. It says, God is not man. God is not like man. God's thoughts are higher than ours. God's ways are higher than ours. We must have reverence and awe of him. Then the thanksgiving just comes. Why? Because we know what's to come. Church, I spoke about the book. We have the book, and it tells us the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's the unshakable kingdom. Amen. That's how we can be thankful. We have the prophecy of the future to come. We can be thankful. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And another aspect of our thanksgiving to the Lord is being thankful always. And I know, like I said, I know this can be tough, but being thankful always. Why? Because in Ephesians, if we can get that up, it says in Ephesians 5 and 18 to 20, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, giving thanks always. In everything. Not just in some things. I know it's, you know, it can be easy when we're on the mountaintop, when things are all going well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we should do it then. But also when we're in the valley, when times are not so good, when it's tough. Sometimes we can be thinking, you know, Lord, you know, I really want a breakthrough, you know, but right now I just take a break because it can be tough. I just take a break. I don't need a breakthrough, just a break. Amen. But we must keep going. Yeah. We must keep praising, yeah, worshiping, giving him thanks.
Yeah.
Why? Because we know how the book ends. We know how it ends. With every knee bent and every tongue confessing that he is Lord. That's how it ends. So as we're in the middle here, this is the middle, we give him thanks. We thank him always in everything. Praise his wonderful name. And the scripture helps us because we ought to give him thanks, because when we read scripture, it tells us that we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And that's in Romans 8:28. So scripture helps us to be able to do these things, to be able to have this posture, to be able to be thankful all the time in everything. Scripture helps us. As we read, as we surround ourselves in meetings, in prayer meetings, we can be encouraged to thank the Lord for things that have been, the things that are now, and the things that are to come. Amen?
Amen.
Wonderful. Praise your name, Lord. So, it is in God's will for us to be thankful. And we must take up a posture and always do our thanksgiving to God. How can we do that? So we can spend more time being intentional on these things, being intentional on being thankful to God. In the little and in the much, we can spend more time. You know, we can often go to God with our shopping lists of requests. But even in our requests, scripture helps us with how we can come to Lord with our requests. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. That's Philippians 4:6. See, even with your requests, even with coming to God, we ought to be thankful. Spend more time with God. Spend more time in the Word. We can be encouraged. We can be directed. We can be instructed on how to be, even when we're making requests. And thanksgiving is a response. It's how we respond to His goodness. It's how we respond to who He is. We respond with thanksgiving. And it's a wonderful thing that we read this, because sometimes we want things figured out. A lot of the times we want to figure things out ourselves. But scripture says, just be thankful. Because it's already done. We're living in time, but God's living in eternity. It's already done. We can be thankful to Him. So let that be our response to Him. And recognizing what God has done for us, you know, what He does and what He promises to do. My coach says this, he says, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I know how to open my eyes, but I don't know how to see. There's so many things we have to be thankful for. And if we take more time, spend more time with Him, we'll be thankful for what He's done and what He's doing and what He can do for us. So as I close, I want to share a quote from Derek Prince. Derek Prince says that when we worship God, we acknowledge His holiness. When we praise God, we acknowledge His greatness. And when we give thanks to God, we acknowledge His goodness. As I read this, I found it very powerful that we are to acknowledge Him in the things we do. He's a good God. He's great. And He's holy. And scripture speaks about this time and time again. It confirms this for us. So as we go, church, as we go into the week, let us take a posture that's thankful. Thankful that We have brothers and sisters. We have a kingdom that we have been grafted into. Thankful for every breath we take. Thankful that he has a plan for us that is above anything that we could think or we could even plan ourselves. So I thank you for listening, and I'm just going to close in prayer as we go. Heavenly Father, righteous Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you that we've heard your word, we've heard what you have to say, Lord, on relating to you in a thankful posture, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, hearts have received what you have. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have a divine plan for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will order each one of our steps as we leave this place. That, Lord, will bring light into the places that we go to this week. Amen. That we can share what we've heard today. That we can encourage another in your name. Father, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.